This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, well, listen, as I mentioned, it kicks off 7:45. It's live on Talk Sport. Leicester, the away side, are odds on favourite, 6-4 on. Villa is 7-2, 3.5 to go through. What's the score going to be?
2-1 to Villa.
2-1 to Villa. Okay, Chris, thanks so much for coming on.
Pleasure.
And Leicester clear. Villa come again, though. Here's the cross to the back post. Trezeguet! Left foot finish, it's in! Villa have snatched it right at the end! And it's Trezeguet! Who has scored the crucial goal? Leicester City men are down all over the pitch. A smoke bomb's been hurled onto the field. Villa Park. Oh, it's absolutely alive on three sides. Claret and blue scarves being held high. They believe now they're off to Wembley for the final. It's 2-1 in added time.
It means an awful lot. You know, we've got a proud history in this competition, as I've said many times, and you know, if we could go and lift this trophy for the sixth time as a football club, I'd be a very proud man. And, you know, we know it's going to be tough, but the hard part is getting to a domestic cup final. We've managed to do that.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now. So I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Paul Davis, lovely turn. Can Samatta get on this? He can! And he scores Villa's first headed goal in the Premier League this season.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me for winter break catch-up, Mr. Chris Budd.
Hello.
Welcome back. How has your winter break been so far?
It's been a nice, you know, rest from the Villa. I didn't clock up the air miles that you did this time.
Have you been caught up in, how's the weather treating you?
Pretty gusty. There's a house around the corner that got smashed to bits.
What happened there?
A tree fell on it and took the corner of the house out, like the roof. And the corner of a bedroom just got crushed.
Wow. I mean, I'm mad. I got a cheap flight and got out probably in the nick of time, actually, to LA.
Doesn't sound like you're in LA.
No, exactly. but I've hooked up with a couple of villains over here. We've got them on the podcast, so that will be coming out soon. But I've got a few friends over here, so it's kind of a cheap trip. And finally managed to get my bloody computer fixed, which obviously I need to edit the show.
God bless America.
God bless America. And it was actually, I probably saved about 150 quid, which on what a certain Mac shop in Birmingham, a certain flaky Mac shop in Birmingham, should I add, was offering up. So half of my flight was pretty much paid for. So it's been a good trip. Good trip all in. And looking at the weather, though, I might put my flight back. I don't know.
Yes, probably do.
I've seen some videos of aeroplanes trying to land on Birmingham Airport.
Yeah, like 90 degrees and stuff.
Unbelievable, yeah. My sister actually was flying back. She lives in Zurich. She was flying back there, and the pilot had two attempts to land and just gave up. Passengers were puking.
I bet they were. Oh.
The pilot was shitting himself. He ended up having to land in Milan instead. And I think the air stewardess said it was the worst flight she's ever been on.
Wow.
Anyway, so we'll hopefully I'll return back to the land of Brum shortly for the Spurs game. I've enjoyed my winter break. It's just a bit of sun on my pasty white face to regenerate.
You know, nice to take a nice step back from the Villaverse and
exactly,
yeah. Take stock and all that.
Exactly. We're still here. We're still rocking and rolling.
We are, man. All guns blazing.
Anyway, coming up in this show, we'll catch up with what's been going on in the Villa Minute. We'll also look back to beating Leicester and ending up at Wembley, unexpectedly, for the League Cup final. And then there's also a kind of a side glance back to that Bournemouth defeat. And then we'll finish by looking at the relegation picture and how we are standing coming out of this winter break. Right, quick Villa news cap, things that have been happening. First of all, I kind of spent a little bit of time stopped looking at social media, and then you kind of put it up, and there's Grealish in Manchester United stories every bloody day. I mean, I wrote a piece at a Media Muppets piece about this, and you start to look for sources and any substantial thing, and there's nothing there. There's all these exclusives, and then the Mirror run an exclusive, and then they run a story that follows up, and you look at its source and it's gold.com, and you look at that story and it's about Grealish house hunting in Manchester, and there's no actual justification there. There's no... Grealish is on a beach, isn't he? He's been Instagramming...
with him and Tyrone Mings.
Exactly.
Superimposing John McGinn.
So he's not exactly getting pissed on in Manchester as he trawls around the greater Manchester area.
Because why would you?
I mean, I can understand why they're doing it. As I wrote, Manchester United, this massive global audience, and they just want to tap in with a bit of clickbait to obviously get, commercially, it's a good thing for them if everybody's clicking on it. But, it's just so disrespectful, I think. Well, come up with a half-decent story at least.
It's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nonsense. Cup final tickets have gone on sale. You always like to keep track of these things. How are they going?
I think there's only about 2,500 left.
Is there? Wow. Yeah. So there's not that. Yeah. There won't be that much left for Claret members.
No, it doesn't look like it. I mean, they may release a little extra batches because I know they tend to leave certain, bits of the ground.
Yeah, they also offer them to players and family, and then they'll get some returns from there.
Yeah. But in terms of the first two sales windows of season ticket holders has been pretty mental.
Yeah.
So all the lower tiers have gone, a little bit of Club Wembley, and then it's mainly the tops of the upper tiers that's left. So the rush for the Claret members, although I think they've added 8 games and 5 games, so that will probably
reduce. They have, yeah.
That should reduce a lot of the risk, because I think if it had gone to all Claret members, it would have been an absolute free-for-all.
Yeah, there's two sides of the story there. There's obviously the people who have been to games, and they'll be a bit pissed off if they've been to 8 games, and then they're suddenly in a free-for-all. But also there's that it's kind of a democratic, so everybody's got a chance, so there's that kind of side of the other argument.
Yeah.
But obviously they've changed it now. If you are looking likely that you're not going to get a ticket, the good news is that we have got a pair of tickets that I've you've probably seen it on the website. I've put up for a quick ticket competition that will close before the Claret member window. I think I didn't know about the 8 and 5 game tier before that, so it was basically so at least the winner would know that they were locked in, so they wouldn't have to go for the free for all. But at least we managed to get a couple of tickets from Carabao for that for our listeners and also the readers. So if you want to enter the competition for a chance to win 2 tickets, just check out the website and email in the answer as instructed to a simple question that is on there. So good luck if you are entering that. Patrons get a few extra entries, certain special patrons. Anyway, moving on, also Scott Hogan obviously ended up at the Blues, and he's like a man reborn. He's on 3 goals now. Is it 3 games?
The touch count meter is just, it's melting at the moment. I can't even touch it. I mean, it's just gone ballistic.
It's too hot to handle, but we'll get it out for the next episode, no doubt. Well, the next episode we do is a regular show. I'll probably get this show out, and then there'll be a chat with one of our LA friends, Bob Stevenson, who you may have seen around. He tends to hang out with Tom Hanks if Tom Hanks is at game.
Who actually already thinks we've won the cup, which is good. Hope that's a good idea.
Yeah, Bob actually spoke about that. It's quite funny. But yeah, Bob, he was at the Minnesota meet and greet. He flew up to that. Mm-hmm. And also he was at when we played the Portland Timbers and Hanks was in town. He was hanging out with Hanks then. So I had a good, I think it'd be about 50-minute chat. I had a whole afternoon drinking and smoking cigars with him, but that's another story.
That sounds far more fun than the Villa.
Our interview was rammed in the middle of a few beers, shall we say.
Oh, yeah.
People wanted the Drunken Podcast. That's probably about as close as I've got so far. There's a little bit of slurring here and there.
Oh, good.
Good news on the John McGinn. When's he returning date? You know more about that than me because I missed this when I was
away. Smith has sort of said his progress has been quicker than they envisaged. So they're expecting him back around about 2 weeks after the cup final, maybe a week, probably more likely to be two.
All right.
Which is a really big boost to get him, you know, back for the running. I'm sure Smith will be cautious about rushing him straight back.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, yeah, he'll start April and he'll be there for the end of the... But if we can get him a few games in March, then that'd be great.
I think the fact that it was a clean break really worked in his favour rather than it being like a ligament damage. It meant once the bone resets and the muscle obviously sets around it, you're kind of good to go.
Good news in terms of, Villa have had a bit of a sale on the home shirt and we will be playing in the home colours at Wembley. I think we played in the third kit when we went to the Etihad, didn't we?
Yeah, we played in the green one.
I always prefer the home colours in a final.
Absolutely.
Right, let's get up to speed what we've kind of missed since the last show. Obviously, we did a Patreon-only show that took in the Leicester game, that fantastic night at Villa Park. But Mr. Bud, if you want to, I'll get the old stopwatch on. So if you want to give me a minute of, what is it, like a Villa fortnight in a Villa minute?
Yeah, it's a pretty jam-packed one this time.
Yeah, well, let's see how you do. I'll count you in. 3, 2, 1, go.
Villa went into the second leg of the League Cup final v Leicester, all square at 1-1. Nealon started superbly, making numerous world-class saves to thwart Leicester. After chances at both ends, Target gives Villa lead at half-time. Iheanacho levels things up to set up a grandstand finale. With a game destined for penalties, Trezeguet dispatches an Elmo cross to send Villa Park into pandemonium. Villa win 2-1 and go through 3-2 on aggregate to face Man City in the final at Wembley. Customary pitch invasion follows on a quite remarkable evening at Villa Park. James Chester makes the move to Stoke on loan. Andre Green goes to Charlton. Jacob Ramsey heads off to Doncaster and Lovre Kalinic departs for Toulouse. Scott Hogan amusingly joins our Cross City rivals Birmingham City. He subsequently scores on his debut when the touch cam meter melts down. Villa bolster their forward options with the arrival of Borja Baston on a free from Swansea on a short-term deal. In a rather after the Lord Mayor's show performance, Villa lose 2-1 to relegation rivals Bournemouth. Samatta becoming the first Tanzanian to score in the Premier League. Again, Villa fail to beat 10 men. Keenan Davis gets another injury. He'll be out for another 2 to 3 weeks. The frantic rush for Wembley tickets begins with over 29,000 season ticket holders snapping up their tickets for the showpiece at Wembley.
Anything else?
Not right now.
What's happening at Wembley?
Yeah, we're playing some like oil barons.
Are we going to win?
Fucking lootly we are.
That's what I like. We like to finish that minute on a bold statement, shall we say. Right, let's get into the 3 points. Point number one, this is kind of a pivotal, another positive step towards having standing sections at Premier League and Championship grounds. Manchester United have made an official request to the Safety Advisory Group, SAG. This is going back in December. This came to light after the recent fan meeting, which I'm actually reading. I was reading the minutes of in a cafe in LA this morning. It's quite interesting, some of the stuff.
Well, do you know what I was doing this morning, David?
What was you doing?
Getting snowed on, so fuck off.
I mean, of all the things I could do, I was reading Manchester United fan group meetings.
You fit in like anyway. A typical American, don't you?
Yeah, hopefully.
Couldn't be further from Old Trafford.
Hopefully nobody was looking at my screen. But anyway, with the biggest club in term, you know, like let's call them the biggest club in England, if not the world.
In terms of that, they can wield the largest influence, can't they?
Yeah. So that will, if they get the green light, that's the precedent you need and the barriers will all drop.
I mean, the Scousers will hate them, won't they? Even more.
Well, yeah, there's a certain irony there. But what I'd like to see is Villa a bit more on the front foot. Villa seem to have been waiting for all this to, I think we've mentioned it on a previous show, waiting for the dust to settle and it to happen rather than actually forcing the envelope, which I would have liked to have seen, but never mind. Right, point number two, kind of a funny one. Jordan Ibe, the Bournemouth player, who I think he signed from Liverpool, didn't he, for like 15 million?
Something like that, yeah, I think so, yeah.
About three or four seasons ago, he crashed his car into the front of a cafe, which really takes some doing. And people think he was in a Bentley 4x4, and he kind of left the rubble of the shop behind and just drove away. So he's got charged with that, although his I think his representation said he waited at the scene for a reasonable length of time. Yeah, probably the time it took to reverse out of the front of the cafe
and get
disappear off into the night. Yeah, probably ransacked the coffee machine while he was there. But shit happens, I suppose. But it's just, I'm sure people, you know, will say, oh, this is like, you know, big money players, you know, being reckless. Not
standard footballer behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the good news is nobody got injured, which that takes on a whole different slant. It's now just classed as shenanigans, crashing cars into cafes at 5 to 5 in the morning. Anyway, point number four, since I'm in LA, I've just round the corner from the Oscars, actually. Bon Joon-ho, the South Korean director, I've actually interviewed a couple of times back in the day. Very, very cool guy. He was asking the run-up to the Oscars, one of those questions, what five people would you like to have dinner with, dead or alive? He named Alfred Hitchcock, Martin Scorsese, you probably expect. Then South Korean former Olympic figure skater Yanu Kim. Then Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin, who was a hero of his growing up. And then he named Kevin De Bruyne.
Like a token ginger.
Ooh. I don't know. Must be a City fan. Wonder if he'll turn up now he's a Mr. Oscar winner. Well, multiple Oscar winner and get tickets for the Caribou Cup final.
Nah, City fans don't bother turning up for cup finals, do they? It's an inconvenience.
Anyway, it's good to see him win because Parasite was probably the best film of the year. I mean, I went to see 1917.
So did I, actually.
A couple of days ago while I was here, and I just thought, well, it was all right. It was not going to win an Oscar. I mean, a lot of people thought that was going to be the one that would storm away. But, you know, it's good, but, you know, close but no cigar.
Yeah, it's, you know, visually stunning and the soundtrack's great, but the story's a bit thin.
Yeah, and when you consider, like, the First World War is the closest probably this our species has got to hell on Earth. That, I mean, there was little moments where you kind of see a bit of that, but you didn't really get the, you know, visceral feeling of what the trenches were like. I mean, I was more freaked out studying it in, you know, GCSE than watching that film.
Reading about trench foot and all that horrible.
Trench foot, yeah, I think that's the first thing you learn about the First World War. Anyway, right, moving on. Just want to give a quick shout out to the My Old Man Said patrons. Thank you very much for continuing to support the show. If you want to get access to extra shows, we do put out full length ones now, and sometimes they're better than the main show. That's the, the Leicester one. I quite liked actually when I listened back to. I was going to put it out as the main show, but there was just a bit too much swear in it, I thought, which might upset a few people. We know that all the My Old Man Said patrons are potty mouths, so they kind of appreciate.
And they appreciate my, you know, my use of an exclamation point.
If you want to sign up and help support us, but most of all get extra podcasts and also heads up and other benefits, please go to myomansaid.com and click on the patron option on the menu bar to get more information there. Big shout out to Dan Green, Matthew Minshall, Tom Squire, Sharky09, Mark Keenan, Mark Shanahan, James Bakewell, Henrik Vershing. Is it Vershing? Think it is.
Yeah.
Sean Villa. I'm sure your surname isn't Villa, but if you've changed it by Deepold, what better name to change it to? Historograph, strange name. Nicholas Yates, Stuart Ridley, Arnold Spleen. I said that with a German accent for some reason. Andy Bates, Ahmed Fowder, Alex Molan, thanks for returning, and Shay Long as well. Not Shane Long, Shay Long. Thank you very much, and we will get more bonus shows out to you. Right, what's the first thing we should talk about? I think we'd talk about going to Wembley. I mean,
I think we should.
I think I described it in that Patreon extra show as it was almost like getting a bye to the semi-final, and then won that, against the odds. We were definitely the underdog going into that with Leicester. But after the first leg, you kind of felt confident. But now, it's a great day out. It's the third one on the trot, is it not?
Yeah, yep,
but
great.
If we were underdogs against Leicester, we are now, last time I checked, 9-1 outsiders.
Wow.
Which, to give you some context, we were 4-1 outsiders against Manchester United in 94. I think we were the favourites against Leeds in 96. I mean, we're normally the outsider because you're normally playing Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool, Arsenal when you get to Wembley. But we have been known to do the business. European Cup, we were big outsiders against Bayern Munich as well. So, we're not in an unfamiliar territory, shall we say. But give me reasons to be optimistic going into this game against City.
I think we've seen enough of City in the last few weeks, months, to think that actually if you can catch them on a bad day. I think we've seen that Villa are starting to get their house in order defensively. We carry enough threat that actually if we can get in the final third, I think we can hurt City. We certainly showed enough at times when we actually played at the Etihad that we could hurt them. The fact that we managed to get a goal to lose 6-1 was pretty staggering, considering how bad we were that day, and Man City still conceded.
I think in personnel
we've got mistakes in them.
We've actually got a striker for that game in Samatta, who looks like he's got a bit of a more of a, let's say, more of a poacher's instinct than Wesley, shall we
say.
Yeah,
he looks like a goal scorer.
But in terms of logistically, I think this game comes at a sticky period for Manchester City, because Manchester City, I mean, how many games have they lost in the league now? Is it 5 or 6?
Yeah, it's more than they've lost in the last few seasons, isn't it, combined?
Yeah,
probably.
So that shows you, I mean, at the start of the season when we were predicting who was going to win the league, I went for Liverpool, you guys went for Manchester City, but I just thought for them to carry on the intensity to really want to win the league when their prime objective is the European Cup, it's, the Champions League, to kind of legitimise what they are as a club, which you really need to be. You've got to win the Champions League, straight European Cup as an English club.
Yeah, and Guardiola does, doesn't he, as a coach? It's kind of, it seems to be eluding him somewhat.
So to me, that was always their focus, where Liverpool have, it's such a bugbear for them to not have won the league. Can you hear that baby in the background?
I can.
Yeah. If you can hear a baby in the background, it's not me just leaving a baby.
That's a film star having a tiz because they didn't get the part.
Yeah, probably.
That's the sound of walking out of Wembley.
Yeah, I'm such a precious when it comes to sound, but I'm just going to let this one roll because...
Wow.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Now, I think the fact that, City have got the rearranged game against West Ham that's been bolted into their schedule, which probably works for us. They've got a big game against Leicester. More importantly for us, they've got a huge game at the Bernabeu on the Wednesday before the cup final.
Yeah,
and that is massive. A game that they will be taking seriously. I think it's the second leg, if I'm right in saying as well. I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I'm sure it's the second leg of the Champions League. That is a big game for City.
That is a super focus, and it's an away game in another country, so you've got like travel time. So it's kind of, we couldn't have set it up as perfect as it is, I would say, to have a chance, put it that way.
Yeah.
So if you got your ticket, we're going to war. We're not going for a day out. We're going with a chance of having a crack at it.
Well, I said it before the Leicester game. I said it after the Bournemouth game. Fans just need to believe now. We're at the business end of the season, man. This is what everyone's Villa fans for. No, this is what it's all about, competing. No,
exactly. Just quickly, I mean, we've obviously covered this in the Patreon podcast, but that Leicester game was, it's up there with the great nights at Villa Park.
Certainly in recent years, it was absolutely incredible to win it in that manner, and especially the wider context of how Villa have played through the season, the fact that the goalkeeper had such a brilliant game, and man for man, they all put a shift in.
Because, I mean, Nieland, if it wasn't for him, we could have been, I mean, he made three great saves, but let's just say we could have been a couple down at half time.
Yeah, it could have been game over in the first 20 minutes. Yeah, it could have been game over before we even scored.
The good news is there wasn't any away goals, so it wouldn't have been over, but still it would have been, if we were like two down, it would be a...
And it was great to see us get in the final third against a good team. And again, when we made chances, we took them. You know, the two goals were beautifully crafted. The winner was an absolutely incredible ball. You know, if De Bruyne delivers that or Beckham delivers that ball, everyone's waxing lyrical for years. It's an absolute worldie of a cross and a brilliant finish.
It's a cross that gets better every time you watch it.
Oh, it's incredible. Incredible. And I love the cut, the video camera when it pans to Dean Smith on the touchline just going ballistic. I loved it. That's what it's all about, man. And various videos I've seen from the stands. You know, our usual guest, Max Stokes' video is up there with one of his better ones. When that winner goes in, it's absolute chaos.
Yeah, it was a strange thing, because even at that point in injury time, you're watching an open live game. It's not like, right, this is definitely 100% going to penalties now. It never felt like that. I never even thought about penalties.
No, not at all.
Until the goal went in, and I thought, oh shit, we're not going to get penalties. That's good news.
Yeah, because you didn't really fancy us. You looked at what was on the pitch.
Yeah, that was...
And they were the favourites in terms of what they had available to them and their goalkeeper.
I tell a lie. I did count our penalty takers with about 10 minutes to go. And then I thought, shit. But there was a period where they were pressing the game, and then you thought, actually, I'll take penalties now. But then you started to look around and see who was actually available, you know, legitimate penalty takers, and you thought, actually, fuck.
I mean, even with, you know, a minute ago when El Mohammadi, I think it was, who brought down one of their lads right on the edge of the bloody penalty area, when all you think is just put your foot through the ball and smash it in the stand. And the ref probably blows the whistle, and they got the free kick, obviously, because that was almost written in the stars that Maddison having, you know, Nieland stopping him all night was going to get the last laugh, as it were, and luckily he put it into the wall.
And then all the headlines would have been how Maddison's better than Grealish, and the focus of all these bullshit headlines to make money out of Man United fans would have been.
When in reality, they both actually had really good games. I was impressed with them both equally. I thought they were both, you know, right on top form.
And Grealish in the first leg was basically keeping us in it by occupying them and getting the foul to relieve the pressure. This time he was more creating stuff and, you know, making sure that we were a threat going forward.
Yeah, and he managed the game well again.
Yeah. I mean, let's go to our opponents quickly. Everybody thought it was going to be Manchester City after that first leg. But then when Manchester United went 1-0 up, and City just looked like really... pretty somber. They weren't really going. I mean, they had a few chances here or there. De Gea, you know, made a couple of decent saves, one particularly with his legs. But as that game went on, you thought, here we go. Then as soon as Matic got sent off, you thought, ah, fuck it. But I wanted United just because I know more Man United fans, and it was more of a spectacle and a bit more spice to the day out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it almost looked like it was written that Man United were going to nick a goal late on in that one. Yeah. They were down to 10 men. It's mad to think, really, how bad Man United have been and all the flack that Solskjaer's under, yet somehow they've managed to come away from the Etihad this season with two wins.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
And that sort of thing has to give Villa hope that Man U have been poor this season. I know they're above Villa and, you know, comfortably so, but... You have to take hope from that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's another thing. When you look at the Grealish, these Grealish rumours, not only is Solskjaer, let's say, is in a hot seat at the moment, the hierarchy is in a, you know, let's say certain United fans aren't quite enamoured with them. And obviously there was that break-in, was it Woodward's house?
Yeah, when they're launching fireworks at his house, or flares at his house or something as well. There was all sorts going on.
They broke in. So this isn't a steady ship. It isn't the days of when Manchester United were a juggernaut and they would, like, you know, pickpocket our, you know, best players like Bosnick and Dwight York, and those two players went off knowing they'd pick up trophies. Villa are in a better place at the moment. They're in their transitional season where we have to stay up. And then after that, I think we kick on. Because this is a young team, it's only just become together. So if we do the business this season, stay up, you know, who knows, we may win that cup. But, you know, certainly Grealish is in a settled a team that's progressing, that all the foundations are set.
Especially if he's in the England squad as well.
He's in the England squad. He's just won a trophy.
And the reality is he probably gets another paycheck. You know, he'll get another pay.
Yeah, the very least, you know, he's played at Wembley again, leading his team out. And suddenly you're thinking, well, actually, Aston Villa are fulfilling my ambitions here. Because, you know, we're in touching distance of winning trophies. I'm playing for England. And I'm like the main motherfucker in this, you know, in the town, so to speak. And sometimes it's better to be the big fish in the small pond to progress, you know, yourself than to be, a smaller fish in a bigger pond.
Yeah, I agree.
So it makes, as long as we stay up, it makes sense for him to stay 100%. And he's only 24. If Villa don't actually live up to the potential of their ambition, and he is a key to that, and the owners will know that, then... you know, when he's 26, he can, you know, dick off somewhere else and
get his big
collect
move.
Silverware. Yeah, but at the moment, most clubs can afford decent wages, so money isn't really a matter unless you're just all about the money. And yep. Then, if that's the case, then he can fuck off.
Well, yeah. Was it predictable after the highs of Watford and Leicester that we'd get the After the Lord Mayor show at Bournemouth?
Yeah, I must admit, I went into that game thinking if we get a point there, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I was the same. I thought it was kind of inevitable that we would just tail off a little bit, I think, with the huge high of the game on the Tuesday, especially with because he hadn't made many changes to the team. And I thought that some of those players might just switch off, knowing that they'd have been going straight to the airport either on the Saturday night or the Sunday morning. And it felt like a bit of an inconvenience, that game.
And, you know, to mentally and physically go through that game against Leicester, as we did against, you know, Watford, taking it right to the edge and winning, it does take something out of you because it's hard to get up again for that.
Yeah, and that was the thing. We just looked a little bit sloppy and we just weren't at the levels that we'd set against, especially against Leicester.
Yeah.
It was good to see Samatta get his first goal, and it's good to see him up and running. And there were sort of little moments of quality, but really it was a very flat day. And, you know, yet again, we failed to get a result against a 10-man side, which is hugely frustrating.
I mean, again, it's like, I think I referenced this earlier on. It's like if you started the season and you'd have said how many times we'd have been playing 10 men for significant periods of time. And this one, you know, there was at least, half
about
an hour left.
It's about 55 minutes when something off happened, yeah.
If you were told that we'd have so many opportunities against 10 men, you would say, this looks like could be a decent season. Especially if you simply said you're going to be 1-0 up at Arsenal and they're going to be down to 10 men at half time, you'd be like, bring it on.
Yeah, and then you're going to have a wobble, but then you'll take the lead again. You think, oh, brilliant, yeah, we'll weather the storm.
Yeah.
Or you get, you know, West Ham, you play 10 men against West Ham and fail to beat them as well.
We really haven't taken advantage of this. And if we do end up in that bottom three come the end of the season, that is one of the big, big factors of why we deserve to be there.
Just not taking opportunities. That was the thing for me with Bournemouth. I think we were very lucky that results went our way, as has happened again, you know, through the winter break. But I kind of was a little bit more pragmatic after the Watford game and the Leicester game, in that because results went our way, it didn't feel so much as a disaster as it could have been against a team who were really close to us. It just felt like a huge opportunity missed.
Yeah, and because they're off the back of a win as well, I just thought, yeah, it's kind of typical. If we'd played them 2 weeks earlier, I think we might have got something from this at least.
And similarly to how it was a massive game for us to beat Watford, and similarly when we played sort of Norwich on Boxing Day and Burnley, I think that Villa game was a huge, huge must-win for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Because we knew, actually, okay, we're all right here. And then, you know, through the last week with the results, you know, somehow, how the hell it's happened, we haven't gone into the bottom three. It's pretty staggering, really.
Yeah, because I thought that would be the psychological blow of coming out of like this winter break, being back in the bottom three, like having come, you know, off Christmas, being in the bottom three. But I think the Spurs game is ripe to see where we are.
Because,
you know, we put up fights against these teams earlier on in the season. While I have to say that other teams did beat them, like, you know, your Newcastles have beaten a handful of the alleged top six. Mm-hmm. While we've been gallant losers, which doesn't get you any points. So this is, I'm looking at the Spurs game thinking we need a point from this at least.
Yeah, you have to see it as an opportunity. And I think
the fact that, you know, that first game of the season was changed really by two players, Christian Eriksen and Harry Kane. Neither will be on the field at Villa Park.
Yeah.
You have to see it. Villa have to see that game as a definitely get a positive result, at least a point. It would be a great time to get a win. You know, I think the winter break came at the perfect time for Villa. They could calm down after the highs of Watford and Leicester, refocus after the defeat of Bournemouth, just wipe the slate clean. They know where they are. They know what the job is now. And they know they're, you know, Smith knows what he's got in terms of, he knows he'll have McGinn back soon. Davis will be back soon after yet another fucking injury. Got
the little bit more time for a little bit more time for some
bed people
to get in.
Yeah, bed people.
And I haven't actually mentioned on the site or the podcast of a striker that came in who doesn't seem to have the greatest of goals per game record.
Yeah, Borja Baston.
Yeah, indeed. Hopefully he's, you know, if he's half as good as Van Basten, then we're on to a good one. But obviously this is a Suso deal.
This is a squad filler deal, isn't it? He's on a short-term deal till May. It's a free signing. It's a kind of, we need a striker. We need to get whatever we can get. I think he knew him from, was it Eibar?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was at Eibar before. And he had like, he was one of these guys, you know, as always happens in European football, they have one half-decent season, then they get a relatively big move, and then it never happened for him.
Yeah. I mean, whether his heart's in it or he just didn't find himself at the right club. I mean, Swansea dropped a few quid on him. Was it about 15?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. So he came, you know, very hyped and just never, you know, never lived up to it.
So they've obviously seen something where they think, well, he's either worth a punt or there is a talent there. But, you know, we shall see. Well, it would be interesting to see if he's on the bench straight away, put it that way, or as if he's somebody they're going to gradually get up to speed.
Yeah, the fact that Davis is out now for a couple of weeks, he'll probably, you know, they'll try and get him back for the cup final, but I'd imagine Baston will be involved, you know, on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good job he did come in because Keenan Davis, I thought, right, just back at the right time, showed enough against Bournemouth, actually.
Yeah, and played very well off the bench against Leicester, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, to suggest that he's going to make, he's going to have a positive effect on this team in their survival battle, and then he's out again, and you think, oh, for fuck's sake.
He's still got a role to play, but he's going to have to, you know, in the running, he's really going to have to sort of stake a claim.
He's going to miss the final as well, isn't he?
They might just get him back for the final, I think. I think that they think it's about 2 weeks, so he might just be okay for the final.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought he would start, but they'd probably try and get him involved.
But I think if you're going to beat City, you're going to need a squad to beat them.
Yeah, he's the kind of player that would actually be quite helpful against a side like City, because you can put him up against the John Stones, and where you're going to have to play a little bit back to front, he could be a potential battle weapon.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, hopefully he'll get up to speed quickly. I mean, if he gets back, because we haven't had a decent hand for a while now to play. And once he came back, he thought, right, we've got a semblance of a match day squad that can actually.
It was really
keep
the Leicester
up.
Game, wasn't it? The Leicester game, you looked at the squad and thought, yeah, that's a bit more like it. You know, we've got a couple of options up front. We've got an option coming off the bench. The midfield, you're always going to miss McGinn. You know, no, Conor Hourihan hasn't really featured too much recently, just because of the way the midfield's been playing. I think the back line looks relatively settled. Obviously, Chester going to Stoke was an interesting one. What was your take on his move? Was it kind of just an obvious move that he had to make for his own career? Or did you think actually Villa should have said, you know, you're the club captain, we need the numbers, you're not going anywhere?
Well, I think I did something for the BBC on where you answered five questions about the, you know, January window. This is for the last day. And I did, and they said, any outgoings? And I said, well, there's two players that would want, I would say, for their own pride, to be playing first team football, and that would be Henry Lansbury, because his career's going, you know, he's hardly played, has he?
No,
over the last couple, since he's come to Villa. And then Chester, you're thinking, well, he surely wants to be in that Welsh squad, so he'll want games. And then I said, it's not a bad thing to have them in the squad, because obviously we're in a, you know, tough period where we need a squad, and we've already seen injuries do happen. But I wasn't surprised. I thought that, you know, we might even sell him just because his contract's coming up, you know, at the end of this season. So that was the only surprise, was he wasn't sold out right. But there was no surprise he was going away.
Yeah, I think with the options we've got, you know, people saying, oh, you know, it leaves us short at centre back. But actually, because we have other defensive options who can chop and change, you know, you've got El Mohammadi, you've got Gilbert who could probably slot in the right hand side, you've got Taylor who can slot in on the other side into the three. You have defensive options. I think, you know, you would only necessarily be keeping him for sentiment, which Villa have made that, you know, bad mistake on numerous occasions.
Yeah, and there's a lot of sentiment for him.
Absolutely, and it's very well earned. But in terms of where we're going, I don't know if he's the future for Villa.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to play the bad cop here, it's this is a guy who, let's say he's 90% now because of his, you know, much talked about injuries, even if he's 95%. This is a guy when he was 100% was on the bench in the Premier League for West Brom. So there was still a question mark. Is he a starting centre-back at Premier League level? Is he, you know, is he big enough? I mean, I think he's a Rolls-Royce at Championship level. You know, is he a good, let's say, one of four centre-backs to have in your squad? Yes, he is. But for a player who has to start and who's now, you know, he is fifth in the pecking order, if he's considered 95% of what he is, then there's no problems from where I'm standing there.
And there's obviously players coming through the youth system that I think Smith will be looking to blood as well. You know, there's a couple of guys who were pretty well talked about coming through in the 23s. Yeah. And I think if Chester's going to hold up the potential for someone to get a slot on the bench maybe every now and then, I think you have to look to the future where possible. You know, Engels, I think, is deserving of his slot on the bench because he's been unlucky, really, at times to miss out. And I think, you know, at the start of the season, he was one of the shining lights of the new, you know, of the new signings.
Yeah, no, sure. No, well, he kind of went AWOL for a few games. We didn't know if he was injured or if he was out of favour. Yeah. Did he have a bust up? You know, what the real story was there.
Yeah, and Smith never sort of poo-pooed anything, did he? Just said, I've just not been picking him. You think, oh, okay.
Yeah. Right, anyway, I need to get back into the sun because my days out here are running out before I have to tackle, what's it called? Hurricane, what's the name of that fucking storm?
Hurricane Cara. I think there's another one on the way, isn't it? Isn't it Hurricane Barry next?
Oh, great.
You'll have a tailwind coming back from LA, I think.
When's that coming in? Because I might just stay out here until March the 1st and just fly in for the final. Actually, that's a good idea.
It's a great idea, David.
What am I missing? Spurs? What else? Anything else important?
Probably not. Have we got Leicester? Is there Leicester away? Is there an away trip to Leicester, I believe? No, sorry, Southampton, isn't it?
Yep, Southampton, yeah.
Southampton, sorry. And obviously the Sheffield United game will be rearranged, which I'm kind of hoping now gets put into April towards the end of the season, because by then Sheffield United will be done. And I think you could be playing a mid-table team with nothing to play for.
Yeah,
that could become a really helpful fixture.
Just a heads up to listeners, there's going to be a fan consultation group meeting. This is, I think it's March the 10th, / 11th, with our friends at Kappa and Fanatics. So if you've got anything constructive you want mentioning to them, apart from the obvious, I don't think you need much of an imagination. If I put this out on Twitter or Facebook, I think I can pretty much guess half the responses in terms of Kappa anyway. But if you've got anything that you want tabling, just send me an email on the regular email, and I'll make sure to mention it when we meet, if I ever come back from LA, that is. Right, anything to add, Mr. Bud?
Well, cut final day, we've been allotted Box Park, so I'll see you in there on the 1st of March.
Oh, right, yeah, we will hook up there and probably be there after the game, win or lose. Met some good listeners last time, so it'll be good to do so again. I'm kind of low-key, it's not about us, but we do like to meet and have a chat, preferably over a beer, so we'll be looking out for you. Might stick a my old man said sticker on my forehead so you know who I am. Until then, please do follow us on Spotify, Apple, leave us a review on Apple as well, give us motivation to keep going. Also do check out the shop to get a My Old Man Said mug or t-shirt as well to support us that way. And until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Speaking a bit more somber because I'm.
You are, man. You seem very like flat and.
Yeah.
Is this the lazy LA thing going on? It's all just a bit laid back.
No, it's because I'm in a house with other people. There's a nanny here. There's a baby here. My friends here. So I don't want to be like shouting.
Ah, yes.
Yes. So if I'm appearing a bit kind of somber, it's because I'm being quiet.
It's not because he's living the LA life and smoking lots of weed and generally being lazy.
No, it's not.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.